extend a hearty welcome to all gathered here this morning. It's our pleasure to be with Wynn and Sherry this weekend, Easter weekend. My wife and I were talking about it. We haven't done real well as grandparents to come out and visit our grandchildren, Wynn and Sherry, last year, so we're trying to improve on that. I think we only were out twice last year. Yeah, I remember myself, I had a close grandpa and a distant grandpa. And it kind of hit me, like, if I don't do a little better than I did this past year, I'll be a distant grandpa to my grandchildren here in Ohio. So we want to change that. We want to come out a little more often than we did last year. But I'm a little bit cautious about my schedule, because I know when I come to Mount Joy, they're very consistent in asking me to preach. And so sometimes I feel up to it, and sometimes I don't feel up to it. So sometimes we come out on a Friday evening, and we get back home Saturday evening. So that takes care of that part. So and the other side is, I don't want to always come out here and say no. So I felt more up to it this weekend, being Easter weekend. And Wynn went to the store yesterday in the morning. So it was kind of perfect. I thought, well, it seemed like God was leading. So I used his office and studied an Easter sermon. So it's kind of fresh off the press. And it's more of an expository message this morning. I'd like to bring a Easter message. The thought is, as I think about Easter, we had a really warm welcome as I came in the door. I came in probably 10 minutes before regular time, 9:30, and I heard this beautiful singing. Could hear it clear from the outside. We parked out here, could hear it coming out through there. Wonderful. Came in. Heard some of that singing, the Easter songs, beautiful inspiration. Sunday school and the song, Come Thou Fount, there before our service here, and inspired me, and so I want to inspire you. You have blessed me through the service, and I want to bless you, hopefully, by God's help. So I think of Easter, I think of springtime. Springtime is a wonderful season of the year, and of all the seasons that we have, I treasure springtime the most. In the fall, it's beautiful. The leaves are colored very nicely, and they soon fall off, and everything gets barren. The grass gets brown. Everything goes into the dormant stage. Looks like life has ceased, but we know there's life underneath. And then when springtime comes and the direct rays of the sun come down on the ground, and things begin to happen, the dormant bulbs. We have some crocuses there at our house, and I like to watch for those first crocuses coming up out of the ground, little fragile flowers. They bloom for a little, and they're soon gone. And we have the daffodils, the beautiful daffodils, yellow daffodils. My dad likes daffodils. The wood shop that I work in, right across from it, is a pretty steep bank, and sometimes he gets inspiration, and he splits up the daffodil bulbs, and he keeps covering the bank with daffodils. And so look out the shop window and we see all the daffodils that Dad planted. Beautiful springtime daffodils. And we have the forsythia bushes, beautiful yellow forsythia bushes that are blooming. So we see signs of spring. We see signs of life. And just the world itself inspires me when I see the green grass and all these beautiful flowers, these things that I think of, new life springing forth. This morning I want to preach a message on the Lord is risen indeed. As I was reading this yesterday, I wondered what the message title should be, and I came across that's in verse 34 of Luke 24. I'd like to read the whole chapter of Luke 24. It's a lengthy chapter, but it covers a lot of the resurrection clear to the ascension of Jesus. So I'll take the time to read this whole passage. Luke 24, verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. They remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself at that which was to come to pass. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. They talked together of all these things which had happened. It came to pass that while they communed together, in reason Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden, that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these, that ye have one to another, as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it, even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. They drew nigh unto the village where they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us, while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, message title, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and said unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. When he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy, and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? They gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which was written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. And said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send you the promise of my Father unto you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. 53 verses. And it shows the resurrection and the proofs of the resurrection, and clear to the ascension of the Lord. The first main point I want to look at is the proofs the Lord's body is dead. And I want to go back to the Luke 23, 46 and so on, and read that. But first of all, I hear the pages of your Bible rustling this morning, and I love that. I love that you have your Bibles with you. And I want to say this main point as we enter into the message, that the Bible is authoritative, is the sure word of God, and it's impossible for God to lie. So when we read the word of God, it is concrete. It's not abstract. Okay, sometimes our understanding of it can be abstract, but it's concrete, it's settled, it's forever settled, it's impossible for God to lie. So as we have our faith fixed in the Word, then we believe it for what it says. So first I want to look at proofs that the Lord died, that His body was dead. So Luke 23, I'll read verse 46. Jesus Himself said about His death, and when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, He said, "Father, into Thy hands I commend My spirit." And having said thus, He gave up the ghost. So Jesus Himself confirmed that He was dying. His physical body was dying. He was dead. Then verse 52 says, and this is talking about Joseph of Arimathea. It says, "This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus." Jesus was hanging there on the cross. His physical body was dead. And this man came to Pilate and said, "I want to take Jesus off the cross." And Pilate gave him permission. Verse 53, "And he took it down, the body of Jesus, and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulcher that was hewn